I think you will now. So Matthew chapter 9. How many of you love for the Lord to just speak to your heart? How many of you just love for the Lord to speak to your heart? It may be conviction, but it's still, there's the resonance of God's voice to our hearts that changes everything about us. So grateful. I want to look in this, and I want you to start, we're going to start in verse 9. I want to read through this and pray. I want you to think about the emphasis of what Jesus is laying down here. Just put in mind the emphasis of what Jesus is laying down here. Verse 9, and how it relates with you. Now, I want to say this too, because as I did, not last week, because we had our missionaries here, but this week, I want your participation. So I want you to take some time. I want to read it, pray. We're going to have some quiet silence. That way you can read over it. And I want you to take some time because I want to ask you, what are you noticing? What are things that are standing out to you in these verses? What are some truths that you catch in it and give you an opportunity to share that with us? So we'll do this together today. So I want to read it, pray, and then just give some quiet time. So it'll be awkwardly quiet, but just reread it over and pay attention closely. Let the Lord lead you this morning. In verse 9, he says, and then as Jesus, so Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, then as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to encourage you to read through that chapter or kind of get the context of the chapter, not just the portion that I gave to you as you reread through this. And I'll trust as you guys are looking up at me that you've spent what you feel is the time that you have needed to read through that. So I'll be just kind of peering over and as you read. Let me pray as I just trust that the Lord will speak to you through this. Father, we want to pray. Very much so. You promised that the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. These were your words penned a long time ago, but given to us for today and for our time. And Lord, every one of us needs something specific from you. Lord, and I'm sure that we all can relate to something in this. So Holy Spirit, would you go throughout our congregation today, out throughout this body, and minister the truths that are divine realities to our hearts, so that we can do more than just be hearers of your word today, but we can be doers of it. We need your impartation to us. We love you and we're so grateful that we're not just asking, but you are already illuminating what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. So here we are. Speak to us, Jesus. Amen. So if you would, just take some time to read through those verses. And Jared, you came in here just a minute ago, so if you have, well, you can read it up there too, or at least part of it. It's Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. So if a few of you are still reading, feel free to continue to take that time while I ask from you guys, what are you noticing? What are some of the things noticing? I'll try to repeat what I can. Ryan. So nobody is beneath his saving. Now, we do know that not everybody will end up being saved. Not everybody makes it into heaven, do they? Not at least as Jesus said and taught. But that doesn't mean that there was an opportunity, space, and a chance for that to happen. As a matter of fact, we believe that God divinely over each one of our life has been operating. But I think the Bible speaks clearly on that. The God of this world, not speaking of the God of heaven, but Satan himself, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel should shine. So what we realize is for humanity is we're not just dealing with, rather we are open to the truth, but what is combating that too, so to keep people in kind of a blind state of heart. But it doesn't mean, man, you may be sitting here today and say, I don't know, I think I've sinned too far for God to save me. My life is too far gone. I have done too many evil things for God to give me not only a place in heaven, but basically give me an opportunity to know him as one of his children. And I know that there may or may not be somebody, but if you were, let me speak against that, because as Ryan said, we see there Jesus's his plan was to come. We see that in is that he came for the sick. He came to be a physician to the sinner. And nobody can heal the sinner except for Jesus himself. Anybody else? What else do we have here? What else was noticed as we were done? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Back to Romans. Yeah. Exactly. So perfect. I think that's great. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all fit that category. None of us were born righteous. Now, if you think you were, I'm going to contradict that today. None of us were born righteous. We were all born with sin. We've all sinned. We've had a legacy of sin, a lifetime of sin. Some of us shorter than others, but we have. And so really, as they're, you know, looking down on, and we look down on somebody who we'd call a sinner because God has done something miraculous in our life and taken us from the old life and brought us into the new, if we ever translate that into not having mercy for the lost or not caring for those who are in that place, then we need a big check in ourselves, definitely. Yep, we don't want to be on the other side of this. Anything else? Anybody else has noticed something? Julia. It's wonderful that we're all here together today, that we get to be in a church service. We worship God together. We acknowledge the Lord in his presence together. But imagine each of us walking out of this building, and after we walk out, we meet somebody out on the streets or we get out in the supermarket, and we treat them very unchristlike. We treat them with disdain, or we go and get on the phone and then we start slandering somebody of a family member or somebody we know, what good is that? And so it's similarly what James says, that a fountain doesn't send forth bitter water and sweet at the same time. Therewith bless we God, we come to church and have, and we want to combine both of them, come to church, right? But at the same time, what we want is to leave this building having been filled with the presence and the love of the Lord, and then to go honor our neighbor with the same gospel that got a hold of our hearts. What else do we have?
So, kind of going back to what Joe and Emily said, I think
There's a feeling of safety in this environment right now. But bring certain types of people in here and it would not feel safe anymore, would it? All of a sudden we would realize that the world that's trapped on the outside is very different from what we're knowing on the inside. And so some of our ideals can be, I want to protect myself, or I don't want to be touched by the filth of the world. And you should, to some degree, because you're like, I don't want to live an unchristian life. But Jesus put us in, he made us new in Christ, and then left us in the world that needs it, right? Mike. We're going to warm up to silence a little bit so that way we can find verses when we need to. I love that. Rule keeping. Yes, there's a blindness that comes to us in thinking we're on the... It's not that we shouldn't realize that through Christ and through his covering over our life, I am righteous because of the covering of God. But Jesus is nailing something else, and it's an idea that I'm righteous completely apart from that, completely separate from it. And basically Jesus is saying, when you get down to this level, if you get to the place you think you're righteous on those terms, and then you degrade those who you would call sinners, you're the sinner. You're the one who's in need of repentance. You need the change here. I think that's excellent. You know, in light of this chapter, something I think that's pretty profound is when we read the first part of chapter 9, he's healing the paralytic man. And noticeably in this, and I love this, let's just read the first few verses. In verse 1, he says, so he got into the boat, crossed over, and came into his own city. Verse 2, and behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. Jesus went about healing, 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 but this one, he deals with the sin before he even gets into the healing. And I love that because I think that something in our culture is trying to find a way to get God to embedder our life rather than learn what is the will of the Lord for me. He's the one who created me. He's the one who designed me. And I get caught up in my plans, my schemes, my ambitions. And that just gets totally outside of the will of God. And then we read this, and Jesus seeing their faith. In other words, they were doing something that highlighted the reality that they believed that he could. And I get the impression that they brought him for the sake of healing. And Jesus said, like, let's just, I'll heal you. He doesn't say that, but that's the idea in mind. I'll get there, but before I do, let's do something even more important right now. Let's deal with the soul between me and you. And so it says your sins are forgiven. In other words, whatever's getting in the way of your relationship to me is now been eliminated. I have the power to do that. Isn't that wonderful that Jesus can cancel your history, cancel your legacy, cancel your sin, cancel your past right now? In an instant, he has that authority. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. So then he heals this man, and you can just see the compassion of Jesus going to bring healing, restoration, and bringing soul restoration right along with it. But that's not the only one, because then as you go into verse 18, he restores a girl to life, and a woman is healed. And then in verse 27, two blind men are healed. And verse 32, a mute man speaks. And then in the last part, in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom of the gospel, or the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." What are you getting a picture of? I get a picture of God looks over humanity and says, I died for them. I gave my life for them. They are mine and they are my harvest. Every one of us are a part of the harvest of God. But then when we look over humanity, oftentimes we're like, but that doesn't look like the way the Lord wants to operate in your life, guys. Sometimes we see that ourselves. I don't feel like what I'm doing or how I'm living in the moment is God wanting to operate that way through my life. And I want to give an illustration. Now this time, I brought my illustration with me. So, now, as I've said, I have a part-time hobby of working on one of these things. Does anybody know what this is? Carburetor. John knows which one it is because it belongs to him. He didn't know when I was over there mowing his lawn that I went and stole the carburetor off of his machine. No, there's a little problem with it, and we're trying to figure it out. Now, does this look righteous on the outside? Does it look clean? Can you tell me, how many of you think that if I put this back into the vehicle, and I've had it for a few times, so for a couple weeks, so usually by this time I've got it all fixed, how many of you think that it's ready to go? I mean, it's a big guess mark. It's 50-50. How many of you think it's ready? Come on, there's got to be somebody out there. Hallelujah, right? So how many of you think that it's not ready? Now, the rest of you better be raising your hands. You can't be on neutral on this, right? Not ready. Well, why do you think that something clean on the outside isn't ready to go? What's the issue with that? Because we know the way a carburetor works. We know that the parts on the inside determine whether the flow of fuel will get to not only through the carburetor, but out of the carburetor into the engine. Now, I'm going to give you another one. So that's just one of them. Actually, I want to know, do I have anybody who'd be willing to hold this for me? Just hold it for me. Ryan will hold it for me. I like to have my audience help me out here. No, you can stand. Just face everybody, if you would, for a minute, just uncomfortably while they look at you. But I'm going to try and get their attention instead of have yours. Now I'm going to put on I'm going to put on a glove here. So it said, that Jesus was there for the sick, right? Jesus was out for the sick, and he came not just to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How many of you fit that category? Right? Does this look more? I know, people, I'm not even dressed to hold this thing, right? But this is another cardboard. Now, this guy has a few other things attached to it, so part of the inlet for getting into the engine. But the idea behind this is, now, can you tell me, by looking at this, is this good enough to put back onto the lawnmower that it came off of and run? Can you tell by looking at it? How many of you guess? How many of you think that you can put this on the lawnmower and make it run? Come on, get your hands up there if you would. Okay, so there's a few people that have faith enough to believe, though this thing looks pretty dirty on the outside, that there is a possibility that it's right on the inside. How many of you believe that the opposite? That thing is not ready to go. Come on. Well, you'd be right. It's not ready to go. It actually runs, but it doesn't run right. I just know that because I was the one that took it off. So I'm using gloves. Anybody want to hold this for me? I'll give you a pair of gloves. Besides Ryan, anybody want to do that? Lucy would do that? Now, I'm going to give her gloves because I believe. Now, I can't guarantee that there's no possibility of gasoline, but if you hold it like this, you're not going to get it on you, okay? And it has that smell. So if you decide to turn away the last minute, it's all right. We understand. It's not clean. Hold that there like that. Now, this is what Jesus, I think, was saying. How many of you are willing to deal with the dirty? How many of you would put your time and effort into someone that doesn't feel clean on the outside, doesn't look clean on the outside, and has something going on the inside?
I used to work for a mental health facility.
Mental health? And we're talking about spiritual health right here, aren't we? Appreciate that. So I'm not going to have you hold it any longer. I was actually surprised because I was waiting for nobody to say, I am not holding that dirty thing. Because I think that's the way we approach sinners. I think that's how we treat them. Now, I'm inviting you on Monday to come over to my shop and help me get these things running. So even though this thing looks clean on the outside, it doesn't run right. It actually might even be a little bit worse than this other one, I'm not sure. But it doesn't run right. So just because somebody looks religious, looks pure on the outside, looks like the Pharisees, it doesn't mean that they're up to par with God. And I want to share a couple things with you because some of us, and this is the pastor saying, I hope that you don't give me your carburetor to work on, but I actually have. I worked on Bernice's recently. She had a lawnmower that was, I enjoy doing it. But one of the things that I realized about it is that the way this a lawnmower or any kind of a machine was designed, it was designed to operate a certain way. When something as small as just a little itty bitty pebble gets down into a carburetor and into the jet, the whole thing stops working the way it's supposed to. And God cares about us similarly, as I would have to break into that and start taking it apart. Uniquely, here's a couple things about a carburetor you might not know. So it has the line for the fuel to come into the carburetor. Now, we would like to believe the moment that fuel hits that carburetor, it goes straight into the engine, but it doesn't. It has to be navigated and guided in a particular way, or it still will not run right. We would actually flood the engine if we just let fuel flow right straight into the carburetor and right into the engine. So then it goes into the bowl, which similarly like our toilets, the way that it works is that you have the float that rises up, and then it has a needle on that float. Hubert, you know what I'm talking about. And we're talking man language here. And that needle shoves into that spot where the fuel is coming in, and then at a certain point, once the bowl is full, it stops the fuel from coming in until the engine uses more fuel, and then it drops down and lets more fuel flow through it. Well, then there's a jet on the inside through the middle of the carburetor, usually right through the middle of the carburetor, at least these small engines, and through the air and the suction from the engine, it will pull that fuel right up through that jet and send it right into the throat of the carburetor and then into the engine. So what it does is mix not just fuel, but air and fuel together. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is because I can see some spiritual parallels in that. And one of the spiritual parallels that I see that is that some of us in our lives are blocking the flow of the Lord in our lives. Maybe you're just like the person who just lives without prayer. I mean, you just kind of, everywhere you go, you just don't spend time even in the presence of the Lord. So that blocks the flow of the Lord. I would say when Jesus is saying that his design was to bring us to repentance, one of the things that he's correcting in our spiritual life is if we even have a flow at all. That's what we would call the salvation side of things, that we are turned to the Lord and we are now continually. Now, salvation is a continual surrender of your life to the Lord, giving up of your life to the Lord, surrendering your will and letting him have his way, letting your life become his. Then you have flow in, but you also need flow coming out. But you need to be careful, because you have to realize if the float is not working like it's supposed to, it'll flood. And to us, that just means a lot of fuel going to a place where it's not supposed to. So it's supposed to be guided fuel. Do you see the spiritual parallel? Guided fuel is this, that it's through the direction and the leading of God that he flows through our life, not just literally having poured out. So some people are trying to do a lot of religious things, but God's not leading you to do those religious things. Some are trying to do very good things, nice things, because they read in the Bible. It says, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, but there's no connection, no relationship connection to God. And so you're not being guided by the Spirit of God. And in Romans, it tells us they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Not they that are led by the Bible, but they that are led by the Spirit that it gave us the Bible, right? Because you can't guide what this word tells you all on your own. You need the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwelling in you to do that same thing. So through the guidance of God, he puts us in a place that we can take what he's done in us and it can work out through us into other lives. But here's the other thing I think is really important, because sometimes we get caught up in the carburetor and we forget that it's attached to the engine. And so if you have a carburetor that's perfect, everything about it is right, but you pull it away from the engine, it still will not be used for its purpose. The design is that it has to be connected to the engine. And I think that is a way of James when he says, our faith without works is dead. What does he mean? Your life and faith are always interconnected. Now, all you have to do is come to the conclusion is, ask yourself, do I have the Lord's permission? Do I have the Holy Spirit's guidance in what I'm choosing right now? Whatever it is. Let me speak of something in particular, because I feel like if I can take the time, and I know the Lord will do it, but we got to speak into it. I can't fix the innards of the soul. But what I can do is speak truths to you that God, by his grace, will get you to turn toward and repent if necessary so that you can follow and favor his will for your life. Can I talk about one of them? It's marriage. Marriage is one of those things that right now, and I'm seeing more and more, and I've come into contact. So here's one of the things that I've heard. Marriage, and I will tell you this, marriage is not a commitment. Now, does it include a commitment? Yes. But that is not what makes a marriage. There are too many people who think that now. We have a family situation going on where the idea of you can be married and you're not because you're committed. Now, Jesus called us to be committed to those who we live with. Problem is this, that's not a marriage in God's eyes. And why do I say that? Because Jesus streamlined and he showed us what a marriage in God's eyes is. It's two becoming one flesh, two becoming one under God. It's a covenant union of a man and woman. Believe me, when the Bible tells us, God gave that to us with purpose, that you cannot put a non-believer and a believer together and make that work. Well, the reason why marriages don't work is not because we haven't found compatibility. The reason marriages don't work is because we never made a covenant under God with one another. Now, notice Jesus doesn't say that I came to call the sinners to faith. He says, I came to call them to repentance. Why? Because the carburetor in somebody's life is disconnected from their life. And they're choosing things outside of the will of God, out of the direction of the Holy Spirit. They're not guided by their Creator in the decisions they're making. And for some, that's the person they're living with. That's the person they're choosing. And they're thinking, well, I'm compatible with them. I'm committed to them. But you haven't made a covenant. And here's one of the things that's really, really important about covenant relationships. Covenant relationship isn't just your doing. It's God saying, I see you, and I see you, and I want to put you together. And you guys are sensing and realizing that through the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to, first of all, be connected with God. Second, out of His connection, you're led by His Spirit so that the flow comes in and through and into the life. So we're not flooding ourselves with what God has done for us, but we're learning to run off of it the way God intended to. So, you know, it's interesting when we think about that. There's so many different dynamics, but think about what Jesus is saying. While He's healing, He's looking at he's looking at the Pharisees. He says, you're missing something. So I'd like to say that today is, if you've come to a place where you have really come to repentance in your heart before the Lord, isn't it normal for you? Isn't it normal for you to grab the dirty one and invest your life into that one? See, because we realize my shop, and when I grab a carburetor, so we don't go. Jesus didn't say, go to the whole, go to the unsick, and go invest your life into them. Now, we are a part of the body of Christ, so we are invested in one another differently. But what Jesus is saying here is, specifically, you're going to the broken, you're going to the sick. It's like saying, I just sent out a message over Facebook or social media or wherever we want to do that and said, I just want broken down lawnmowers and engines, and would you just send them over to me? I just want the broken. And when I come, I'm prepared to get dirty. I'm not prepared to sin. I'm prepared for their life to touch mine, and it's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be clean. How many of us like getting gas on your hands? I mean, I don't even like it. I somewhat have a little bit of a flavor for the smell of it, weirdly. But at the same time, I don't like it on my hands. I get it on my gloves, those kinds of things. So when you're getting into the integrity of somebody's life, bound deep into it like Jesus is, He said, this is what I came to do. I came to get at the heart where things are really unclean. People polish themselves on the outside, but I came to get on the inside of a man and a woman's heart. No guises. Nothing you can do that is outside of my visual eye, what's really going on in your life. You can't tell a lie and God not know. You can't manipulate somebody and God not know what's really going on in the background of what's really happening there. You can't get into a situation in life and it be all about self and self-centeredness and God not know that. Right? He sees that. And so some of us would say, well, if I could just stop being a self-centered person, that would be repentance. But that would just be cleaning the outside of the carburetor. And to this day, I still have not figured out, and show me if you ever hear a good commercial on it, how you can clean the inside of a carburetor by doing something to the outside. I just polished the outside of that thing. I took off all the grease, all the grime. It looks beautiful. It looks like Pastor John's carburetor. And it's perfect on the inside. I just haven't. And I think that's kind of the reality of what we're talking about when Jesus is like, that's what I came to do. Enter into my work of. So what I'm seeing on one sense is what I call Christian prejudice. I just call it Christian prejudice. And it's really hard to endure because one of the things that I find is some of the most gossiping, most slandering souls are not those who say, I don't believe in Jesus. It's those who say they believe in Jesus and do it anyway. And to me, that's like saying, you just got something jammed up into that jet and there is fuel sitting down in the bottom of that carburetor. You have the knowledge of what the Bible says, but you don't have God working through your life. And you know what happens when that when that happens? We put that carburetor on the side of that engine and we just keep pulling. You keep pulling. I'd like to see somebody mow their lawn like that. Just keep on pulling and, you know, the blade will turn and hopefully you'll get the lawn mowed. That would be the hardest way to ever mow that lawn. And it's the hard way to live in the kingdom of God. It's a hard way to live in the kingdom of God when we don't have that focus of Jesus flowing in and through our lives, being led by the Holy Spirit into it, and our faith connected to our life. Faith connected to our life. Some people would say, Pastor, today, if I were to be completely honest, I can say there's definitely things that I do, I know that are not agreeable with God's will for my life. And so repentance is, if I can put it this way, it's correcting the inward issue to get back to the place of the way God designed you. It's just correcting the inward issue of getting back to the way God designed you. Now, what's cool about this is every one of us need repentance. It's a really important. As a matter of fact, you don't hear much taught about it for some reason because we're talking about faith as if faith were it, we don't need repentance as long as we have faith. But actually, repentance is what helps you walk in faith. It's a part of faith. The fact that I believe leads me to repent in certain ways. And it's awesome when we get to that place because nothing will make up the difference in our life. So when you go back to chapter 9 and we read about the paralytic man, I think why Jesus emphasized this in his life was because he's like, if I can undo the issue of what sin is in you, I can heal you and make you completely whole. But no healing on the outside will ever make you whole if you've got something out of alignment with God on the inside. None ever will. So what this has done for me, in a sense, is built my, now for me, the mechanical side, but the spiritual side, is built my vision for people. I get excited. So I get doubly excited for souls, but I get excited when I know, and here's one way. So this is for those of you who are like, Pastor, I'd like to know how to troubleshoot a problem. And I'll usually use like starting fluid. Gas would be better, a little bit of fresh gas in it. But you just make sure to pull off the air cleaner off the car, off the front of the carburetor. Carburetor's still attached to the engine, and you spray it in there, and you pull it. If that thing fires, that means there is a problem in that carburetor. There you go. Now you can go home and work on your lawnmowers. But what I want to get at is this: if it doesn't run, then it doesn't even have any spark. If it doesn't fire, it doesn't have spark. I get excited when I hear that thing fire and start to run just for a few seconds. Because what I see is the vision of what's going to happen in just a short amount of time. I can take about 30 minutes and give it a bath for about 24 hours, and I can have that thing running again. And I love when you look at something. Brand new machinery, folks. Brand new, right up practically out of the box. Somebody had it for a year or 2 years, didn't run it or ran it once, and something got into the port and now it's not working. And I love that. Now, the reason I say that is because I love 10,000 times more to see a soul back to operating the way God wanted them to be. How about you? How about you? So we can just say, Lord, today I want to be, and I loved Joe was sharing last week about the idea of we go from receiving the package from being the delivery man. How many of you would like to be the mechanic for souls today? Lord, would you use, you already got me where I need to be, right? I hope so. I'm staying in repentance. I'm staying tuned. I'm not having to be a rebuilder or an overhaul inside my soul, but you've got me tuned to your ear, to your will for my life, and while I'm that, I'm just going to help bring another brother or sister in tune. That's what I'm here for. Lord, would you use me? Would you use me to tune somebody else? And guess what you find? You find sometimes, friends, don't give up when you find that there's one of them that you can't fix. Because you're not always going to have somebody in front of you. And I love this because we're not doing the fixing, but when we put time and effort into them and they didn't get it, it didn't work, it didn't take. Some people quit because of that. Some people quit because it's dirty work, and I don't understand it. You know how many times I've heard somebody say to me, I'd rather you have it. I give you the whole thing completely because I don't get it. I don't understand how to work on that. Please don't do that with the lost. Don't do that with the people that are just like you who need Jesus every day desperately and haven't even began that at all in their life. Don't let that happen. Speak to them about the issues, but deal with them as a person and be there as a part of it. What I realize is there's two things that have to happen in our life. We have to have correction. We need to correct things. It has to change, but we also have to be gentle. Oh, you have to be careful. The words you speak, the way you talk, how you speak into their life, you have to be gentle with somebody while you're being corrective in their life. And the Lord is the one that's bringing them to the place they need to be. But don't you do things that are opposite of what God's trying to do. But it's a heartbreak to know that souls are sitting, collecting one after another, and all they need is just somebody to give them the right kind of attention. So I want to invite you to do that, because I see that in what Jesus is saying here. I see the power of Jesus saying you can be a tax collector or a real sinner. You can be one of them in being like a Pharisee and just letting people slide by. Letting people slide by. So some of those are, well, they're drinkers, and they get drunk all the time. And we just let them slide by. And it's so uncomfortable because that's not my lifestyle, and they cuss all the time. And I don't want to be around somebody like that. That takes away from me. That actually kind of makes me depressed and those kinds of things. And the reason I say that is because I'm afraid that too many of us, Jesus is calling you to be a mechanic, and you're like, I'm just trying to be a clean carburetor. I just want my life to work. I want what I'm attached to work. I don't worry about anybody else. But Jesus didn't do what he did in your life without having to reflect on how you look at other people. It's that important. So as we get into that, sometimes people will say, well, you're judging me. You know how you get past that in a lot of people's lives? You get a little bit of correction in what you say verbally, and you give a whole lot of love. You do a lot of good deeds for them. Love is in deed and in truth. And you just let them know that you deeply care for them. And then when you bring correction and a word to them, they receive it. They don't like it a lot of times, but they receive it. But that's how it works, folks. That's how we get there. And I think it's awesome when we see a soul transformed. And the other thing that happens is it's going to take away from you in ways. It's going to take from your privacy. It's going to pull out of your pocket because you're going to need to help somebody. You're going to have many different things where it's going to test you and try you. And if you've ever prayed in your life, it's going to be in those times. Because it's literally like saying, I've never worked on somebody like this before. And it's crazy because every time I do something to tune them in and to adjust and to try and work with them in some way, they unadjust themselves. And they go back to doing the same old dumb thing again. And I don't understand it. And then after they've messed things up, they come back to me and say, can you pray for me? Absolutely, I'll pray for you. And you'll be in tears and hurting. But I'll do that over and over again. As long as the Holy Spirit has me on task, I'll do that because I understand the value of seeing you back to operating the way God created you for. And I believe that for all of us. I mean, I trust that in this audience, it's not a new word, but it's one that continually gets into our heart. You're like, Pastor, that's true. I love that. Now, what I would love to do today, as we're just going to be praying for, is there somebody on your mind that you're like, this fits for them? Maybe it's for you too. I'm not saying that we're excluded, but Lord, I have something in my life. I want you to speak. I want to speak to you. Don't leave just to hurry up and go out the door. We're here together so we can pray for one another and pray what the Lord's going to do. And there's needed miracles in some of us. And you've let stuff inside your life, and we want you to walk out having the presence and the touch of God on you. Here's the other thing. You know somebody in your life, and you're like, oh, Pastor, man, they are that person. I've ministered to them, and maybe you're one of those people. You said, I have so just about given up hope. I've done everything I can think of for them, and now it just kind of left a prayer. And I want to encourage you, don't let go of what God gave you the start of. The Lord put them on your mind and not on somebody else's for a very, very special reason. And you know what? Here's the thing that I think is awesome. It doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as we know that God's going to get them where they need to be. It doesn't matter how long it takes, as long as we know God's going to get them where they need to be. So keep praying for them. Don't lose courage and drawing near to the Lord and walking with him. Because here's the other part. You're not just praying for them, but you're praying, Lord, how can I intervene your way? Not my way, but how can I intervene your way? I've been doing this and doing that, and you're like, stop. Just stop for a minute. Maybe the problem is everything you've done is out of your kindness and out of your compassion. Just stop and let God lead you, because doing one thing that God actually wants you to do and doing a million things out of your compassion, you're definitely going to land it when you do what God calls you to do. That's just the way it is. So we just, Lord, help me know. Help me know how to get into this. I had the phone call the other day from somebody that basically just dropped us hard. I'm going to close with this thought. It just dropped us. It was, we gave kindness to, and it was treated like with indifference. And I felt like the Lord at the time said, just let go. Just let go. And I did. And I got a call the other day after months. This has got to be probably at least 6 months. A call. And I still haven't called them back. And I'll tell you why. Lord, last word you gave to me was, don't do anything. Am I still on that assignment? Is that what you want me to do? Because I trust you'll lead me. And I haven't had a word yet. But I love it when I wait long enough to actually listen to what God is saying. And it's uncomfortable because it feels like I need to do it now. I'm ghosting them. They're going to think the worst of me. But when you listen to the Lord, it lands where it's supposed to. I want to encourage you guys today to do that. So I want to. We're going to have an altar call time, but not with just emptying things out, but praying for people we care for, praying for those we love that are not with us today, that we know the Lord wants to get inside of their life. They don't know Jesus, and we know it, so we want to pray for them today. So who is that on your mind? Who is that that the Lord has actually have on your heart that we can pray for today? So as the Lord, my son in the back, as he plays the music in the background, we're going to give you guys an opportunity either to come forward or just to be where you're at and just draw near to the Lord. I want to pray for whatever you're praying for today. We have family members that are in desperate need of what the Lord wants to do for them and us today. So, Father, thank you today. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you today that we get to be together. Lord, we get to get cleaned up together. We get to have the Holy Spirit work it in our life together. We need you to guide us. Take what you've done inside of our heart and guide us in the direction we need to go. And we're so grateful for that. So friends, would you just respond to the Lord today? Isaac, if you'll turn on the music in the background, I'd appreciate it. And I just want you to start responding to Jesus today.